But hi guys, how you doing? Gaz, informal, like to be called Gaz. And yeah, as Rob just said, I own a couple of gyms, one in Rochdale. I don't know what your geographical location is, but one in Rochdale. It kind of borders Rochdale and Oldham, and the other one is in Bury. And I've owned the Rochdale one for about 4 years. I opened it up. I left the army. I used to be in the army. I spent 24 years in the army. Joined when I was 16. Left when I was 40 because I'd had enough. Several tours of Afghanistan and Iraq and Bosnia and places like that. Kind of had its toll on me. And 9 months in Afghanistan in 2014, closing the place down and pulling out, or helping to. I didn't do it on my own. Without going home kind of broke me. So I decided my run-out date was 2016. So I had a chat with the wife and I decided that enough was enough at that point, and I was going to leave. I had no idea what I was going to do. I'm an engineer by trade, civil engineer. I didn't want to do engineering. I'd kind of had my fill of it to that point. And over the last 6 years prior to that, I'd really taken control of my own health and fitness to such a point where I thought, do you know what, I can make a career out of this. I can do something. I can make a business out of it. So that's exactly what I did. But before I go to that, I kind of just want to take you back to what spurred that on, really. Because before then, I was a fit guy. I was in the army and I was doing well in the army. I was a Royal Engineer. I was in the engineers. And in 2010, I don't know exactly when it was, I was getting ready to go out to Afghanistan on, they were called Operation Herrick. And it was quite tasty out there at that point. You know, there were about 60 people dying a month, getting blown up, getting shot, getting whatever. And we were training on a place called Salisbury Plain, and it was snowing. I remember it distinctly, and we were getting ready to go out for a summer tour in Afghanistan, which is like 40 degree heat. And you're pretending to search for IEDs in the ground with a half a foot of snow on the floor. And it just wasn't realistic, but that's what you had to do. And I got pulled aside. I got told that I needed to go and see the boss. And I was driving, or I was getting driven to go and see the boss. And we run in the fields in the middle of nowhere. And it's quite unusual. So I was wondering what was going on. You know, I'd like, how have I screwed up here? What have I done wrong? I'm going to get my backside chewed. And I went in the tent and there was nobody else there. And which is quite strange because normally it's a hive of activity and everything, all the planning and everything goes on. And he sat me down, which is strange. And I thought, oh, I'm going to get sacked. I'm not going to go. Or is my wife ill or whatever? And I got told that my best friend had just been killed in Afghanistan. Got blown up by an IED. And Dave was kind of like my role model. I have the mantra, what would Dave do? And it was always a case of, if I came across a problem, what, you know, how would Dave done it? What would Dave do? And the sheer fact that he'd got blown up was kind of just, it was one of them things you don't think of. He had the best, he was out there actively searching for IEDs, and that was his job. And I'd spoke to him about a week and a half prior, and I was going out there and we were going to meet up and have a brew, and then he was coming home and I was going to go out and carry on. And even though he was going out there actively searching for these IEDs, he had the best team. He was finding the most bombs, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the fact he got blown up was kind of surreal, and it hit me like a sledgehammer. He was super fit. He was super focused. We call it switched on. He was switched on. He was like the best of the best. He was like, you know, a normal run of the mill Johnny Rambo type guy. And here I was 18 stone. I was overweight. I was unfit. I was playing video games whilst I was at home until about 2 o'clock in the morning. 30 odd year old block, by the way. And I basically just wasn't in shape, and my life wasn't really good. So I kind of took a step back at that point and just went, right, I'm taking blokes out to Afghanistan. We were an all-male unit. I'm taking the blokes out to Afghanistan. I've got to lead these men. I've got to get myself back. I owe it to my wife. I owe it to my family. I owe it to these guys. I owe it to their families as well to bring them all back in one piece. So at that point, I decided enough was enough, and I didn't want to be Dave, and I didn't want to be responsible for a coffin coming back to the UK with a union flag draped on it, because I hadn't done my job properly, because I wasn't capable of doing my job properly. So that was the start, real start of my journey. And I did what most blokes do when they decide they want to get fit. I decided, right, enough's enough. I'm going to eat green. I'm going to be clean. I'm going to stop drinking alcohol. I'm not going to eat chocolate. There's no crap going in my throat. I'm going to train every day. And that probably lasted a couple of weeks before it became difficult and unsustainable. So I bought the latest plan off the internet, PDF. I thought I could take that with me to Afghanistan. And when you deploy, you're either working, sleeping, or training. That's it. You're resting, you're working, or you're working out. So I got myself in decent shape in Afghanistan. Thankfully, I got everyone back. I got everyone through. I got myself back. I got everyone back. And then when I got back, I'd got myself in good shape, surprised the missus with a semi six pack and a toned, tanned upper body at least. The legs were still pasty white because we still had to wear our trousers, but I got a bit of time to sunbathe in our downtime. But so long story short, 2010, when I got back, I was back on the chocolate, back on the ice cream. All those things that have been deprived from us in Afghanistan went straight back on it. Guess what? Weight piled back on. Had about a month off after a few things started running around in the head on the stuff that had happened in Afghanistan, slipped back to what I was doing. 2011, decided that I was going to start again. Got a new job, got moved in the army, got myself back in shape. Once I got myself back in shape, slipped out of shape again. And that kind of rebounded all the way until 2016 when I opened the gym. And then I had to be a role model. I saw myself, well, I'm a role model now to my clients. I can't be this out of shape, yo-yo dieting guy. So I battled with it, at which time I took up kettlebells and a thing called Kettlebell Sport in 2016. I found out I was pretty good at it. So I'm 40 year old at this point. A year later, I became world champion at Kettlebell Sport. I defended the world championship for the 2 years. So I was like four-time world champion because I kind of expanded. So I got two in 1 year. And then I started ultra marathon running when I was 43. I decided, I pressed the button. I asked the missus what we were doing Easter Saturday last year. She said nothing. So I just signed up for a 50 mile ultra marathon. Never run a marathon, but that's the kind of thing I do. I set little challenges. And once I've set the challenge, I then figure out a way to get from where I am now to the challenge. And I think that's one of the key things that I would say to anybody. Because when I first set my goal of being fitter, leaner, stronger, whatever it was, I didn't actually have a sight on what I wanted to achieve. I didn't have a goal. I didn't have a direction. So although I wanted to be happier, I wanted to be leaner, I could lose half a stone in a week, all of a sudden I'm happier, I'm leaner, and I've achieved my aim. But one thing we learned in the army was what's your end point, what's your goal? And then once you know that, then you can map that journey to get there. So if I was to say to anybody right now who's got a desire to do something, it would clearly be sit down, spend a little bit of time defining where you are right now, what it is you want to achieve and what does it look like. So you've got a picture of it. Clearly define it so you can determine when you've got there, and then start to map out the process. Reverse engineer it. That's my engineering background coming. Reverse engineer it. So what do you have to do to get there? And if it's going to take 6 months, fine. What do you have to do every month? And then break it down. What do you have to do every week? And then break that down further if you can. What do you have to do every day? So for example, health and fitness, if I want to lose a stone and a half or whatever, or just call it a stone. I don't know why I'm complicating things saying a stone and a half. Just want to lose a stone over 12 weeks, then I can break that down into thirds. So So I've got a set determined amount I can lose every month. And then to do that, I've then got to break that down even further. And I think where people get lost is they get stuck in outcomes. You know, if you want to make £1 million or you want to do this or you want to do that, it's, yeah, fine, you've got the outcome. But how do you actually get to the outcome? And I've found personally that behaviors dictate outcomes, because your behaviors will dictate your actions, and your actions will then dictate your behavior, your outcomes. So if I want to lose a stone in weight, well, I know I've got to train at some point in some shape or form. I know I've got to eat well in some shape or form. And that's where most people get stuck with health and fitness. You know, the common things I find when especially speaking to busy guys like yourselves, I don't have time. I don't have time to train. I don't have time to eat well. I'm running around. I've got the kids. I've got work. I've got emails. You know, the pressures of the business is on top of me. I find it difficult to fit an hour in. I can't cook. You know, they're all classic examples of reasons why people can't achieve what they want to achieve. So it's, how do you break that down and say, right, okay, how am I going to create time? How am I going to cook or learn to cook or produce something that can cook? So it's finding your hurdles and then looking to overcome those hurdles. And I think you could probably take that model or that route, that mindset, that process, and switch it to anything in life, whether it be health, fitness, business, whatever, because it's exactly how I did the opening of my gyms. You know, I'd spent 24 years in the army. I'd never worked for anyone seriously. The army looks after you. You know, if you were single, you wouldn't own a house. You'd live in a building block. Your meals are provided for you. You've got no idea about national insurance. You don't know what council tax is. You don't pay electricity bills. You turn up to work. You work. You go out. You go back to your room. You eat. You sleep. You go out and have a drink or whatever. It's dead easy. Life's easy. But obviously, once you come out of the army, you've got all these other things going on around you. And there I was trying to open my own business. I didn't have a clue about, you know, change of use, business rates, you know, paying people, and you know, anything, sales, marketing. You know, I thought I was going to open a gym up and people were just going to flock in because it's a gym, and obviously that didn't happen. So I then spent, I kind of let myself go a little bit again, because it was like, well, I've got to learn these sales skills, marketing skills, and whatever. So I employed the same process to getting myself back into shape almost every time. And then it got to a point where I said, do you know what? I've had enough of getting in shape to then lose shape. I'm pretty much a grandmaster at that right now. I can do that at a drop of a hat, and I can help other people, and I'm getting other people great results. How is it that I can stay in shape? And how is it that I can, you know, make that time routinely for training, for eating, for cooking, for time with my family? Because I found that as the businessman, that was the thing that was going, was my family time. I was answering emails. Are we taking the dog out for a walk? No, I'm too busy. You know, come on, let's go and see the godchildren. No, I haven't got children of my own, because but that's a different story altogether. Sorry, I've just thrown myself there. I haven't got time for my own family, basically, because the business demanded so much of my time. So I kind of had to dig in and look within myself on how I was going to solve that. And I've sought coaches, you know, I've seen consultants and mentors and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, you've got to do it yourself. And I've got a few notes here. I'm kind of going off it, but. First thing I found is you've got to schedule. If you're busy, you've got to create a diary, and you've got to schedule time in. And there's no such thing as you haven't got time. I see successful people far busier than me get out, and far more successful than I am, get out and train and eat well and spend time with the family. And I'm asking myself the question all the time is, how can they do it and I can't? And from me looking into what they do, and how they do it, almost all of them to a person, whether it be man or woman, schedule their time. They diarize things in. So at the start of the week, I'll plan the week to the best that I can. And I'll schedule in family time. So I kind of work in 90-minute blocks and have a half-hour break. So I'll do 90 minutes, half-hour off, 90 minutes, half-hour off throughout the day. And I'll schedule in, say, a 90-minute period where I'm training then. Right, there's my lunch. That's in. Or if I know I'm on the road or I'm in a rush, I schedule time to cook the meal for the next day. It generally, invariably, just becomes an add-on from the meal from the day before. It just becomes that, you know, like a make more and just have that for the next day. But I schedule time in. And if I break that time, if something comes up, so what? But it's been scheduled in. And then when I wake up in the morning, and as part of my routine first thing in the morning, is I look at my schedule for that day. And it's broken down into 30-minute segments, mainly 90-minute working blocks with half-hour breaks. And therefore, I can put that time in. And then if people want that time, then it's got to be a damn good reason, especially if it's I've trained my brain. If it's family time or if it's my time for me, then it's got to be a damn good reason for me to give it up. And I'm a big believer in that. And one thing I tell to my clients all the time is they say, oh, you know, people call me selfish if I want time for myself. And my response to that is, well, if you haven't got time for yourself, you can't work on yourself and you can't be the best version of you that you can be. And if you're a poor version of yourself, if you're stressed, if you're negative, then the people around you are going to pick that up, especially your kids. Because they're like sponges and you resonate whatever you're feeling. So if you're down and depressed, people around you are going to be down and depressed. And you owe it to other people, especially your family, to be the best version of you. Because if you're 100%, you can give 100%. If you're a half empty cup, there's sometimes not enough in there to pass around to everybody else. And that's the way I see it in my own head. So I kind of owe it to myself and owe it to others to be the best version of me that I can. And that's why scheduling for me is so important. So, you know, if I was to say, if nothing else, takeaways is know where you are, you know where your point A is, know where your point B is, and then just break everything down in between and then come up with actionable tasks every day. And then, you know, spend time on yourself and schedule that in. So I did a workshop with my gym members, and I use the same example almost every time I do this. In 2016, I started kettlebell sport, and I went to the World Championships in that year. And I was pretty cocky. I was feeling good about myself, and I was training really well. And I got on the stage, and I thought I was in chance with a medal. In my first year, I thought, how good of a story would this be? And then I got on stage, and basically it all went wrong. And the guys around me were much better than me. They were lighter than me. They were stronger than me. They were fitter. They were faster. And I learned a very humbling lesson. So in typical fashion, typical military style fashion, we do what's called an after action review. So we look at the event, you know, what went wrong? Well, what happened? Why did it happen? You know, what could have happened better? You know, what could we have done to change the outcome? All those things. And basically, I hadn't planned and prepared as well as I thought I could do. So I did exactly that. I set myself a 12-month goal. 2017, I was going to Greece and I was going to win the World Championship. And that was my goal. So I wasn't settling for anything less. I was going to win the World Championship. I set myself this big-ass goal. Something I took from the German football team after, I think it was 2002, when they got kicked out early of the World Cup. Or 2000 or something, I can't remember exactly. They said they were going to go and win the World Cup in 4 years' time in the European Championship. So that's exactly what they did. And they had a very simple philosophy, and it was think big, act small, move fast. And that was their three things. So it was like big-ass goal. So that was the think big. Act small, how are you going to break it down into those little bite-sized chunks? And then just get going, because probably the bit I want to finish on, really, and I'll come back to it, is the get going bit. So I kind of said, right, to get to that point as a world champion, they've got to train. So I set myself my training schedules in monthly blocks. So it's 12-week blocks, which we then split into monthly blocks. I had to be 87 kilograms to compete in my class or lower. And I didn't want to be too light because I wouldn't be as strong or as powerful as I could be. And so I had to sort my nutrition out as well. And then I had to get myself there. So I had three big goals. I had to get to the venue. I had to be 87 kilos or just under. And I had to be, you know, at a set rep range. And in kettlebell sport, it's 10 minutes amateur with two 24 kilogram kettlebells. Now, a lot of you look like you train. Two 24 kilogram kettlebells. And you basically got to clean and jerk these two kettlebells without putting them down for 10 minutes. And it's the person who gets the most reps in the end wins. And I figured that I needed about 90 in 10 minutes to win. So I set my training schedule for 95. So I broke it down. So I knew I had to train three times a week with my kettlebells. I had to do some accessory work, cardio work. I had to do a lot of flexibility work. So I planned that in every week. I knew I had to eat well every week with giving myself some leeway because I'm only human. And I had to like book my flights, book my hotels, book my accommodation. I had to make sure I got it all done at a certain time. I didn't want to leave it too late. I had to get transport to the airport. So, you know, I set myself milestones and I set myself little tasks every day. And if you refer that back to just general health and fitness, you could say, right, okay, today, this week, I'm going to train three times a week. This week, I'm going to, I don't know, create myself some headspace to think. Three times a week. I'm going to eat well 5 days out of the seven. And the reason why I say that 5 days out of the seven, three times a week and whatever, is that I find that people telling themselves they're going to eat well all the time is unrealistic. I've got a movie quiz on tonight with the gym, and I'm probably going to have some ice cream whilst I'm hosting that movie quiz because I want some ice cream. I love ice cream. I love chips. I love chocolate. So I have these things. Just because I own a gym doesn't mean I'm this saint that work with men's health and fitness. I am this saint because you've got to stay sane. You know, people like a beer, they like a pizza, they like a burger. I always say that one burger doesn't get you fat. It's the burger, the Pringles, sat in front of Netflix, you know, with the bottle of wine just before you go to bed. That you know, time and time and time again is the kind of thing that gets you fat. So it's that breaking everything down. And then what I do is I set challenges for myself and for others. And I create little rules within those challenges. So for instance, I might say, right, I'm going to get myself 10,000 steps every day now for 28 days. But I'm going to allow myself 6 days worth of screw-ups. So I'm going to work on an 80% rule. I'm going to get things 80% right. Because if I can, in the next month, if I can get 24 days in of 10,000 steps, I've got a decent level of physical activity in. Or I'm going to stretch and mobilize three times a week for the next 4 weeks. So that's 12 sessions of stretching and mobilizing. And that's all right. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Right. I can't do it that Friday because I'm away on the road all day and night. So, okay, I'll do it on the Saturday instead. So, that's where the scheduling comes in, and that's where giving myself leeway and flexibility comes in as well. So, and then I'll kind of, with my little challenges like that, like I call it a habit tracker, and going into habits is a Warren Hall that could speak for hours and hours. And if nobody's heard of it, Atomic Habits by James Clear is an amazing book on the topic. I'll set myself a couple of simple rules. And with the habit tracker that I've got, it's be honest. So if you screw up, you screw up. Don't lie to you because you're only lying to yourself. And then allow yourself these screw ups. And I say, keep it simple. So I just basically say green dot, red dot. I'm a visual kind of guy. So I have my habit tracker on the wall. It's green dot, red dot. If I do well, it's a green dot. Obviously, if I do wrong, if I don't achieve it, it's the red dot. And I basically say that no red dot follows another red dot. So I can have a bad day, but allowing that bad day to turn into another bad day is my fault. everyone can have a bad moment or a bad incident or be weak or whatever, but allowing yourself then to tail off and do it again is entirely your fault and your responsibility, and you owe it to yourself to rectify that. Otherwise you're setting yourself on that slippery slope down. You know, the analogy I use is keeping yourself on track, or life's a mountain and you're climbing up the mountain and it's a struggle. Life's a struggle for a lot of people. And by all means, stop, turn around and enjoy the view, because the view is pretty spectacular on many, many occasions. The sun's shining and you get a great view. Sometimes the clouds will come in that'd be pretty miserable, but you've got to keep going. But if you allow yourself to slip down the mountain, you've got to reclimb it again. And it's hard work and you don't want to keep doing that, especially with all the weight that you've got on your shoulders, which is the burdens of life, whether it be mortgage, job, career, employees, whatever it is. So by all means, stop and take a break, but don't allow yourself to slip back down. And getting too many of those red dots is slipping back down. So it's difficult in lockdown. I'm in lockdown with everybody else, whether you're furloughed, whether you've got a business or whatever. I've got two gyms. I'm director of both. I can't furlough myself because the place won't operate. A lot of people have turned around and said, "Do you know what? We can't train at the gym anymore, so we're cancelling our memberships." Fine, okay. I kind of preempted it. I saw it coming before Boris decided that he was going to close gyms on the 23rd of May, 23rd of March. We went online. So the Friday before, we started training outside. So we did Friday and Saturday training outside to kind of create space for people. And then they put a kibosh on that one. I kind of saw that coming as well. So I got on Zoom and we created a system where we could train people on Zoom. So we kind of got over that hurdle by doing that. And then we're in lockdown. We've kind of refined the system on how we're doing. So we're always looking to better ourselves. But I'm close by the fridge. I'm human. I love a brew. I go into the kitchen. I put the kettle on. First, the hob turns to open in the fridge, because that's what you do. When you go in the kitchen, you go to open the fridge. So I started putting signs in the fridge saying, "Get out," with a couple of expletives. You know, "Do you really want to be in here?" And that kind of worked for a time. And that's one of the rules. My missus is 8 stone wet through. I can put weight on, no problem. I don't look like it, but honestly, I've got the pictures to prove 18 stone, man boobs, belly hanging over the belt, etc. And you'll have to go on my Facebook page. I post them quite often. And so I kept myself rules like, right, it's 10 burpees if I go in the fridge. If I take anything out of the fridge, I owe the fridge 10 burpees. Jill's got a cupboard. She struggles to put weight on. She has to eat like processed, she eats pan of chocolates, cookies, biscuits, crisps, you name it, it's in a cupboard. She's like a big kid, sweets, chocolate, the lot. And I just ban myself from going in that cupboard. So I say to a lot of my clients, if you've got kids, put it all in one cupboard, give it to them, allow them access, you're not allowed in. You can stock it up, you're not allowed in. And if you go in, you've got to not punish yourself, but you've got to you owe. It's like a bank deposit. You know, you owe that cupboard 5, 10 of whatever. And it kind of works in my mind to stay away, because I just hate burpees. So they're the kind of challenges and rules that I set myself. And it seems to work for me, and it works for a lot of the people that I've tried this with, and I've had hundreds and hundreds of people come through, and it's worked wonders with them as well. A lot of the stuff I feel is people come to me as, I'll just touch on it, is and you mentioned it before, is mindset. I'm not a mindset coach. I didn't really think of myself as a lifestyle coach, but I am. Because your lifestyle dictates your behavior. Your behavior dictates your actions. Your actions dictate your results. So I say to people, create environments which support your goal. And goals are not bad. Goals are not good. You know, they don't have morals. They don't, like food. There's no such thing as good food, bad food. Again, I don't want to get on that. You know, a chip butty isn't there going, "Ha ha ha, I'm going to kill you." you know, I'm going to give you cancer, or I'm going to make you obese or whatever. It doesn't, you know, it ain't got a clue, has it? It just, it's just food. It's fuel for the body, and it's you that labels it good, bad. It either takes you towards your goal, takes you away from your goal. If you want to live on social services for the rest of your life and be a fat knacker and claim benefits, then a chip butty is a good food. You know, if you want to be fit, healthy, robust, thinking clearly, looking after your family, living to be 100, you might want, might not want to eat too many. So you know, be clear on your goals, then you can set your environment. If you want a great night's sleep, don't have the TV blaring at 10 o'clock at the night just before you're about to put your head down on the pillow. Don't be answering your emails at 9 o'clock at night. I was a fool for it. Clients used to message me at 9 o'clock at night on Messenger, and I'm there responding to them, and then I'm trying to get to sleep, and my head's filling around with all this stuff, and I have poor night's sleep. So again, create myself little rules, create a sanctuary around sleep. No TV in the room, phones switched off at 7 o'clock at night, i.e. I don't answer work emails after 7-8 o'clock at night. And if you work into somebody else's schedule, if you're doing that, if you're answering emails at 8-9 o'clock at night, you're working to somebody else's agenda, not your own. And it's generally not favorable to you. They don't have your best interest at heart. They want an answer. Well, that answer can wait till the morning. It's going nowhere. Obviously, if you work with foreign countries and they're on a different time zone, then that's a different matter. But in the main, in the UK, if you're answering emails at 9 o'clock at night, probably the other person's not going to look at it or respond. So don't bother. Set yourself up for the next day. And so it's creating little areas like that around your lifestyle. So, you know, we stop, me and the missus, especially during furlough at the moment, between 12 and 2, we stop, we have lunch together. Nothing gets done work-wise in that period, 12 till 2. And I schedule that in, and I tell my staff that I'm not available during that time as well. We'll take the dog out for a walk, we'll do whatever. We'll just chin work, we'll just do a crossword or something like that, just to take ourselves away from the stress that is the ongoing situation.
Cool.
Non-stop there for about
that was mega. Sorry, that was right.
Before we stop, what I will say is the key I found with anyone is accountability. People tell themselves they're going to do X, Y, Z, they're going to achieve this, they're going to whatever, and then within a week or within 2 weeks they dropped off, unless you've got a real good reason why. So I get people to tell people what your goal is. How many of you have come up with a goal? You've got a real good idea. You've committed, and then you hide it from other people. You hide it from the world. Tell people. You know, I tell the missus, I used to take food off people's plates. You know, obviously they finished. I wasn't hungry. I'd take food off people's plates because I've always done it. So I said to the missus, right, I don't want to do that anymore. Stop me or remind me. So tell people what your goal is and what they need to do to play their part in helping you. And I find a lot of people, when it comes to relationships, especially in the family, if you want to lose a stone and the missus is putting up, pardon me French, she's putting a big plate in front of you, piled high, because that's what you normally eat and that's what you enjoy, and she's doing it out of love, care, and attention, then she's going to do. But if you say, look, Miss Huntley, I'm trying to lose a stone, can you just reduce the portion sizes a bit or stay easy on the gravy, on the mash or whatever, then, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're gonna support you if they know which direction you're going in. Because if they don't know which direction you're going in, they're gonna go in the direction they think you want. And generally, it ain't the same. So you kind of end up pulling not opposite directions, but you know, it gets strained. So bring people along with you. Shout from the rooftops what your goal and what your aspiration is, and people will follow. Generally, that's what I've found. Same in business, you know, tell people what you're trying to achieve. I'm sure if you're businessmen and you're successful, you tell people, right, the target is this is what we're doing. So you all come together, you all work together, and you all go in the same direction. And the same is true with health and fitness. Right, I don't want to be disturbed between 12 and 2 because you're messing up my family time. If you mess up my family time, I'm a grumpy, bald-headed git, and you're going to get it in the neck. You know, that type of thing. So it's just keeping people on side and just keep people holding accountable. So when you're putting that custard cream in your mouth, people going, I thought you said you didn't want to eat those. Yeah, okay, you're right. And you've created that barrier. You've created that extra hurdle for you to get over. And you can have the things that you want. Just make it difficult for you to get to the things that you want when it comes to things like food, junk food that you don't want to eat.
So I think just looking at the profile of people here, John's got a question for you. I'll ask that question in a minute. Mainly the profile of people on the call here are, you know, I know Mark is training for England hockey. I know Keith is very active. I think it's tennis now. Maybe squash when I first met him. John's entering cycling races around the world. I know Chris Mann does a bit of running and that kind of stuff. Just what I know. David Bay's got to go. Nice to meet you, mate. We'll catch up with you later. I'm lucky enough that at the moment I've got two businesses paying me. It might go to one at some point. I don't know. So I've maintained my membership to the community gym that I'm part of, which is a bit like yours, isn't it? It's not just here's the doors, come in and do some bicep curls. There's a coach and there's help and there's nutrition, there's lifestyle stuff. And I found that really key. Yeah. I've kept that on. And in my head, I'm going, look, for £2.50 a day, these people are helping me move through each day. Like whether it's recommend an app for meditation, something to do stretching, and then a daily program, which actually only takes 30, 40 minutes when you're stood in the garden with a bloody bag of sugar or whatever you're using instead of gym equipment, and stayed in pretty good shape. But from what I can see is, you know, when everyone was jumping around doing Joel Wicks with the kids 6 weeks ago, that kind of stopped. And it's now restarting into some positive habits to be able to eat well, move well, get up in the morning, not watch 3 hours of telly at night, read something positive, listen to something positive, completely on your own back because you are at home for probably the next few weeks at least. Is how you're helping your contacts sort of really take accountability for themselves, not just to you who would physically see them each day.
Yeah. Okay. Good question. Well, we get them first and foremost. It takes time. We get them to, you know, if someone was coming to us right now, it's not just a case of, right, you're going to feel better tomorrow. And unfortunately, in today's world, people want the result now. You know, you can click on Amazon, you can buy something now, you can go online and you can transfer your money wherever. It takes time and you're going to mess up. I think the first thing you have to accept is you are going to mess up. And you're going to feel like it from time to time. And you're going to have a lay-in and what have you. But set yourself a routine. Set yourself a schedule. You know, I get up at 5:30 every morning. And even now, during lockdown, I get up at 5:30 every morning because I want to stick to that routine. I want to stick to that schedule. And I've got that goal of what I want to achieve. And I can then get up and I can... Because I've set my day the night before, I have this little thing in my head: plan tomorrow today, and that's what I tell myself: plan tomorrow today. And so I've got an idea of what I've got the next day, and I give myself something to look forward to. So I kind of, if I have to do something that I don't want to do, it follows. It's followed by something that's a reward. So I say, right, I want to train tomorrow. So I train this morning, but before I train, I've got to knock out this project or part of this project to the bit that I want to be at. So I kind of, it's like I have to do something, but I get a little reward at the end of it. Mm. And I don't tie the reward to food. That's something that people do with kids, and that's ingrained in people. And they then grow up thinking that food's a reward. Just a top tip there. A lot of people like ice cream because they were given it as children when they had toothache and everything.
I think it's important to treat it as fun, isn't it? Like you say, you can have a bad day, but it doesn't mean the next day has to be a bad day. Mm. Like, but if you don't eat enough and it leaves you hungry, you know, you need to put a bit more on your plate next time. If you're too full to be able to move, then you're not going to do your exercise, but you know for next time what to do. And if you can treat it like a game and just have a laugh with yourself and learn as you go in. And like you say, yeah, you fall off the wagon for a day. It doesn't mean that tomorrow is the same.
Yeah, I always, I think the only we are our own worst critic. I think everyone here will probably admit that you're your own worst critic, and you're also extremely forgetful when it comes to yourself. And you'll probably forget the fact that you had two beers last night, given the chance, and you'll forget the amount of custard creams you've had over the week, or whatever, unless it's documented, unless it's written down. And that sounds onerous, and it sounds hard work, but to be, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be very, very simple. I get some clients to write down, go, I've had a piece of, you know, a lump of beef sides of my palm. I've had two fistfuls of vegetables, and I've had a pint of beer, you know, and they send me their meal. That's their meal plan. You know what I mean? I'm not asking people to count all these macronutrients and calories and all that kind of stuff, because most people don't want that and they don't need it. So it's keep things as simple as possible. Don't overcomplicate it. And either hold yourself accountable by writing it down, and therefore it's there in front of you and you can't ignore it, or get other people to hold you accountable. And I find that scorecards, playing games, if you're competitive, if you're into any kind of sport right now, if you're into fitness, you're probably competitive in some way, shape, or form. So I set games and scorecards with people and make mini challenges. So, you know, if you 7 to 9 hours sleep a night, you get a point. Over the month, that's 30 points. Right, you know, guy A, Tom, Dick, Harry, yeah, who can score the highest this month on sleep? You know, and it's not sexy. Getting 7 to 9 hours sleep a night is enough to send anybody to sleep. That, you know, the topic is not the sexiest and it doesn't sell. But, you know, the best thing you can do for your health and fitness, and it's free, is get good quality sleep. So, you know, so how do you turn that into something that people want to do when there's Netflix, there's box sets of whatever that they can go rerun on, there's drinking, there's all sorts of things that you can do. There's stuff running around in your head that's waking you up at 2 o'clock in the morning. How do you get 7 to 9 hours quality sleep at night? Well, if you turn it into a game with 4 or 5 different people, and the person with the highest score gets a reward, whether it's a fiver off everybody else, whether it's a pint, whether it's whatever, all of a sudden it turns into a challenge, it turns into a competition, and it becomes fun. And then you can have a laugh and a joke about it, because it's camaraderie and community that pulls you through tough times. You know, when I was back in the army, one of the things, you know, the ethos was, we're a team, we're a family, we're a unit. And you go as one, you don't leave anybody behind, all that, you know, the stuff you see in the movies and all that kind of nonsense. But, you know, it's true. And you get together as a group, as a cohort, and you pull each other through. That's why when I left the army, I decided I wasn't going to do any one-to-one PT. When I was going to open my gym up, it was group-based training only, because it's a much better environment. I don't want to sit there and listen to Harry tell me about his struggles all day. You know, and I don't want to be his sounding board, because it will just drive me insane. It won't make me look forward to it. But when there's 10 blokes all there together, high-fiving, back-slapping each other, it's a completely different environment. And it's a pleasure to be a part of. I feel that creating that team, creating that environment is creates a challenge. It creates accountability. And I think accountability is probably the biggest key, getting someone else to help hold your feet to the fire. Because there's times you're not going to want to do it. It's just the simple fact of life. Is, you know, I'm sure Linford Christie back in the 90s or late 80s, as driven as he was, you know, or Michael Jordan or Cristiano Ronaldo, I'm sure they all succumb to something they feel they shouldn't do at some shape, point or other. But if you've got somebody else there going, you know, how many red dots have you had on your chart this month, and you're scoring and comparing against each other, you're more inclined to want to get more green than red.
That's like me and Chris are both at different CrossFit affiliates, and we'll be looking at our little app and go, that new guy got better than me today. Yeah. Right, that's it. I'm getting training. I'm doing, you know, and it is that sort of that competitive community environment that you put yourself in, whatever it is. I mean, I've never been in a sleeping competition, but I think I'd do all right.
yeah, you, it's the points, it's the tally points, you know what I mean? But it's all about creating that environment, creating those behaviours, and keeping them going over time. Because that's it's like you know, if you put your hand on a hot pan, you're going to get an instant feedback. You're going to get results straight away. You're going to get a burnt hand. You're going to get a sore. It's going to hurt. You know, if you've got toothache, you want to get it sorted by the dentist. Yeah. When you, unfortunately, with the things that are good for us, the things that are going to help us to live longer, it's the opposite way around. The immediate effect is generally a pleasurable sensation, i.e. that burger tastes ever so good. You know, that pint, oh, it's amazing, especially on a hot, sunny day. You know, that pizza's creamy and juicy. But, you know, it's the thing, it's the long-term effect that matters. And that's the thing that people don't see, because you don't get that immediate return. You know, you brush your teeth 3 times a day, 2 times a day, whatever, every day religiously, because you were brought up to do that. But you know in the long term that you'll have nice, shiny white teeth that your own for as long as you can in your life. You know, if people say eat well, people don't see that if you eat well, move well, think well, then you're going to live well. And you can quite happily be, you know, 80, 90, 100 year old. Look at that Captain Tom, who's raised 30 million on you know, for the NHS, 100 year old doing 100 laps around his garden. You know, why can't we all be doing that at 100 years old? Why, you know, just because the norm is, you know, obesity is rising, diabetes is becoming more prevalent and people are dying of heart attacks more, doesn't mean it's right, but it's becoming normal. So how do you not do that? My granddad was 75. He lived to 88, I think it was. 75 year old onwards, he lived in a chair, didn't move, and was basically just non compos mentis, and didn't really know your name or acknowledge you as you came in, and lived on about 1 million pills. Well, I don't want to be somebody's just put John says, what's the next goal?
John wins a bag of Blue Jay coffee, sponsored on this fantastic podcast.
My goal is to live to be 100 plus and be fit and healthy all my way to the end.
Yeah.
Because I want to live longer, but I also want to live those years. Mm. So I want a term I didn't coin, but I took it from somewhere else, was I want to add years to my life and add life to my years. That's the goal now. You know what I mean? I'm aging. I'm 40 odd year old. I've gone bald. You know, I can no longer compete with the 20 odd year old regularly. I can still kick their ass most of the time, but it takes me 4 or 5 days longer to recover than what they can. So the goal is internalized now. It's to live to be 100 plus and be as fit, healthy, and as energetic as I can.
Yeah. So just we did say half an hour. We're at 54 minutes. So we'll wrap up. If we can, next couple of minutes. Anyone get any more questions for Gary? Because what this guy knows some seriously good stuff. If you have any more, but just from the people I've been speaking to, it is the ones. You know, my kids get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So for me to do what I want to do, I'll get up at 5, and that's just the way that it is. And like we said yesterday, being tired isn't the end of the world. You need good sleep, but you can also set an alarm and get up if you really want to do something. And you know, Gary, you're impacting a lot of people. I know there's loads of people in Rochdale talking so well of what you're doing for them, and none of them are saying that you give them massive biceps and, you know, and bikini bodies and stuff like that. They're just saying that you're changing their lives in terms of how they view what they do, how they'll find a time for an hour a day just to look after themselves. And like we said yesterday on our little chat, if you look after yourself, you can look after everybody else.
Yeah, well, I've got one of my guys is on here, Mark Dixon, and Mark was 20 odd stone, and he's now sitting up. He's 6'7", like big lad, like scary as well. But he's now sat around about 17 stone something, you know, 50 odd year old, in amazing shape with huge shoulders, massive biceps, and we don't train biceps, we don't train shoulder, you know, we don't train particular muscle groups. I just say, you know, exercise well, lift weights, move around often, you know, move fast occasionally, and pick pick heavy stuff up off the floor or whatever. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be this best program. It doesn't have to be the best diet. Just get going. And the thing I wanted to finish on was take action. You know, how many people come up with a plan? How many people listen to something like this, get a load of good information, and then do nothing with it? You know, you can Google whatever you want. You can, information's free. But it's a case of actually taking action and getting going. The first step is always the hardest, as they say. And it's just the way I like to do things. One of my gym managers hates me because I'll just go in and go, right, we're doing this. I've done this. And she went, well, you didn't tell any of us. I went, no, because if I told you, you'd give me a million and one reasons why not to. So I'm just doing it. And she went, how are we going to do it? And I went, I have no idea. We're just going to figure it out in a minute. So I get going and I commit myself to the act. And then I tell everybody that I'm going to do it. And then that kind of forces me to then put a plan in place and come up with a product or come up with a solution. So I'll say to someone, right, we're going to run a seminar or a webinar or whatever. And they'll say, cool, what's it on? And I'll tell them what it's on. And then somebody will say, have you got the thing sorted yet? And I'm like, no, that's the next plan. So, you know, so I generally jump in with both feet to doing something and then try and figure out how I'm going to do it. And I kind of find that that's a great way of holding myself accountable, which I've touched on before. But first and foremost is take action. Even if it's getting up, going for a walk today, you know, you want to run 10K, just get up, walk 2 miles today. Next day, walk a mile to an extra quarter of a mile, you know, so on and so forth until you can do it. Don't think about the end too much yet. Figure out how you're going to get there and just start ticking the things off as you go.
My 4-year-old just threw a box at me, so I think it's probably a good time to to wrap up. Gary, that's been absolutely awesome, mate. I really do appreciate all your time. Thanks for your time, everybody. Please stay in touch. Hopefully we'll see you next Friday for something else, something new. And if you know anyone who's got some great stuff to share, please do let me know and we'll get everybody on. Rave safe, everybody, and I'll catch you all later. See you in a bit.
If you don't mind, I'm specifically trying to work with guys now, professional guys, businessmen like myself who are struggling. My Facebook page is The Ageless Performer. If you wouldn't mind going on there, giving it a like. I'm on LinkedIn as well. Just give us a like. You know, if you know anybody that is struggling, that is giving a bit, you know, I'm doing, you know, remote online training. Just started it really. So I'm doing a massive discount for people. I'm getting people in hopefully in great shape and getting great results and hopefully definitely changing people's lives. So thanks for the plug. And if you know anybody, send them my way and tell them they sent you and we'll sort something out. Thanks very much.
Nice one, Gary. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Cheers out. Bye-bye.